Paul said it's going pretty good. So pray that you are having a wonderful, wonderful day. And we look forward to what God has in store for our program today right here on the Refresh Radio program on WMIE 91.5 FM. Hey, why don't you do someone a favor? Why don't you let them know about this radio station? And, you know, our goal here is to help people to grow in their relationship, to bring a refreshing word. You know, there may be a lot of people out there that say there's no, he doesn't do his program like everybody else. Well, you know, if everybody else is doing a program one way, you don't need that to be repeated all over again. And so, I like to have more of a conversational style program here on the Refresh Radio program, and bring truth to you in a way that is going to manifest in your daily life, in my daily life. It's going to help us. And I tell people at my church, is like that radio program helps me to grow. I've learned a lot of things because it's like, okay, God, this is the course that you've laid out here. What do you want to say? You know, because nobody wants to hear me just rambling and bumbling on the air. You want to know what does God have to say, and how is that going to impact my life? And so there's a lot of people who in Brevard County who could use an encouraging word, and I want to ask you to let them know about 91.5 FM, WWBC 1510 AM. We would greatly appreciate it. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where we're going to be today. We were in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians yesterday, and today we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Timothy. But I do want to take one more opportunity to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God this week to hear the special gathering choir at 10:30 of a morning, and then Richard Stimson is going to be preaching the word. He's the pastor of that ministry, this special gathering ministry right here in Brevard County. And we have a long-standing relationship with them, and they're going to be a blessing. I pray that you'll come out and be blessed as well. So with that being said, 10:30 Sunday morning is when that service is going to take place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 9. If I told you today that you could have a very peaceful life, would you want it? If I told you today that you could have a very quiet life, a life that's low on melodrama. I tell people that I love adventure, but I hate melodrama. I really could do without the over dramatization of life. I can tell you about people who just want to come and stir things up to keep them stirred up. I can do without some of that. I love adventure. In fact, my son, I forget where we were, but he and I rode a roller coaster together years and years and years ago. And we got all the way up to being the front of the line, and they shut the ride down due to weather. And a lot of people started leaving, and we stayed there. And after about 45 seconds, they reactivated the ride. And as we came down, we'd never been on this one before. It was our first time on this particular roller coaster. So we didn't know anything about the course or what to expect. And as we came over the incline and it began to descend and pick up speed, little sprinkles started happening. And by now you're going 30, 40, 50 miles an hour. And those little droplets of water start hitting you in the eyes. You take off your glasses and all of that so they don't fall down on the ground and stuff. And so as we began that ride, it was more painful to keep your eyes open than it was to shut them because of the raindrops that were hitting you in the eye. that was my favorite roller coaster. And he was talking about it the other, here a couple of weeks ago and saying, you know, talking about the raindrops hitting you in the face and everything. It was just the greatest. I love adventure, hate melodrama. And so today we're going to talk about how we can have less melodrama in our life. And it has to do with our prayer life, and it has to do with God bringing us to where we're supposed to be. Verse number 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." So he starts off and he tells them here that as far as brotherly love goes, they are excelling. He said, "You have been taught by God to love one another." I think it's very important that we constantly go to school and allow God to teach us to love one another. We live in a day and time where there is so much anger, so much rage, and hostility towards people who have differing opinions. Now, I don't have to get mad at you because you have a different opinion. I don't have to. I can love people who have different opinions. There are people who do not believe the things that I believe, and they're free to do that. Where I start running into a problem is where people who believe differently than I do want to take away my right and my privilege to believe the way that I do. And so there are people that think that there are many ways to get to heaven. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved except for the name of Jesus. I believe that is very important. If somebody doesn't believe that, I'm going to try and persuade them otherwise. But they're free to do whatever they want. I believe that God has given us the instruction manual and the Word of God as to how relationships work best. But there are people who are free to go off on a different path. There are people who conduct huge areas of their life in a manner that is diametrically opposed to what I see in the Word of God. But they're free to do that. They're also free to experience the benefits and the consequences of those decisions. So he says, you and I were taught by God to love one another. And so I don't want to just surround myself with people who look like me, sound like me, think like me. I want God to teach me and say, okay, how can I love this person? You know, there was a book written by Dr. Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages. And, you know, not everyone identifies love, a manifestation of love, in the same way. For some people, it is gifts. For some people, it's verbal affirmation. For some people, it's tactile. It's sensory. You know, there are lots of different ways, and so you need to figure out how you can allow God to teach you how to be more accepting and more loving of other people. It doesn't mean that you're going to be approving of their behavior. Okay? There are people in my past who I have greatly disapproved of their behavior, that behavior had no bearing on the fact that I loved them. Now, they may not have seen the manifestation as love, but it really was. Okay, so Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And that word there means superabound, and to be in excess. Okay? So I want to encourage you that you and I set as a scriptural goal that we're not going to be content with our spiritual status quo. But instead, we are going to try and increase to superabound in the characteristics and the qualities that God wants us to have in our life. So one of those areas, hold your finger there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to come back there. But over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And again, we're talking about the nature of our life, that it would be quiet, that it would be peaceable, that it would be godly, and that it would be reverent. That is the goal. And Paul writes to Timothy and in this pastoral epistle, and he says, in order to achieve that, one of the first things that you and I have got to do is we've got to pray, we've got to be thankful, and we've got to pray for those who are in authority. We got to pray for those who are in authority, for the kings and all who are in authority. So if you and I are going to live in a melodrama-free life, we need to be praying for those who have been charged with a responsibility and given authority over whatever level of society we find ourselves in. And that just doesn't mean that you pray for a person in office when they share your same political identity. You pray for the president, you pray for the governor, you pray for the Supreme Court, you pray for the House of Representatives, you pray for the Congress, you pray for the mayor, you pray for the county commissioners, you pray for those people. I always encouraged people, if they were going to go before someone for an interview, for a job interview, if people were standing before a judge, pray for them. Pray that they get a wonderful night's sleep the night before. Pray that everything is peaceful and harmonious in their home. Pray that they're surrounded by godly counselors. I will tell you that the scripture is still true, that righteousness exalts a nation, a people group. Okay? Whenever you see that word nation in the Bible, it simply means people group, a group of people. And, you know, nation, we kind of think that it's a large group of people. We have a large group of over 300 million people here in America. And I talked to someone, and they have a business, and they described that the number one issue that they deal with, it's not buying, it's not selling, it's not marketing, it's none of that. It's dealing with the dozens of employees that they have. And so there's, especially now when the job market is, there's so many jobs available, and the labor rate is down, or the unemployment rate down around 3-point-something%, that there's competition for those workers, and there's people coming in and people going out, people getting sick and people going on vacation and people getting upset with other employees and all that sort of stuff. And they described that it was very challenging. Well, I want to extrapolate that out a little bit for you. What if you're governing not just dozens, you're governing hundreds? What if you are governing thousands? What if you're governing hundreds of thousands? Or what if you're trying to govern millions of people I'm telling you, we need to pray for those people. And when we pray, it is one of the key factors that is that leads to us being able to lead a quiet, which that means that we have to work to be still. if you can look at it that way, well, we'll see that back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me take you back there. But we urge you, brethren, let me take you back, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. There's that connection with 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So sometimes you and I, we've got to work at it. Well, how do you work at not working? How do you work at refraining from meddling? How do you work at keeping still? Well, sometimes that means that you ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen your jaw muscles so that you can keep your mouth shut, because not everything that crosses your mind is supposed to cross your lips. Now, I'm telling you this, that there have been learning experiences in my life where I have seen that if I had not said something, the day would have turned out entirely differently. And so here's a practical life lesson. If you are in a potentially contentious situation and you feel like that the Holy Spirit is saying, don't say this, do not pour gasoline onto this fire, keep your mouth shut, and the other person is goading you, go ahead, say it. I want to encourage you to do this. Don't say anything. Okay. Take it from a guy who said something back when I was in my 20s, and it didn't. I knew it wasn't the right place. I knew it wasn't the right time. Doesn't mean that what I said was untrue, but the person's got to be ready to receive things. And so sometimes we have to work at it to lead a quiet life by keeping our mouth shut, by not doing something. We need to work at that. One of the ways that we lead a quiet life is we pray that those who are governing would be surrounded with godly counselors, that ungodly counselors would be revealed and they would be pushed out of the way. So if you want to take a look at what a person's spiritual condition is like, look at the people that they are surrounding themselves with. Now, once you have determined the type of people that they are surrounding themselves with, the company that they keep, remember, bad company corrupts good character. That's the word of God. If you got a problem with that, it's not a problem with me. It's a problem with the word of God. So once you see the type of people that they are associating with, then you ask yourself, what direction are they moving? Is God moving them in the direction of godliness, or is God moving them in a different direction? So there may be people who have some ungodly friends, but God is working on them and bringing them out of that and calling them into the kingdom of light. He says back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to mind yourself. Okay? A lot of people, like in America, probably over 300 million, want to focus on what is going on in other people's lives instead of paying attention to what's going on in there and theirs. That's why Jesus would say, you know, don't focus on the speck in your brother's eye when you've got a beam, a rafter that has impaled yours. You've got to get the beam out of your eye so that you can see clearly to deal with the speck. Jesus never condones either one of them. What he's saying is, you know, you've got to deal with your issues so that you can, you know, have the credibility, the experience, the clarity to be able to deal with someone else's issues. So that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. I want to throw also in there, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we're called to lead a peaceable life. God wants to lead us to a life that is safe and it is sound in every area of our life. Okay. I'm a huge fan of government when it's based on godly principles. If it's based on ungodly principles, not a fan of that at all. I look around, I've read my history books, and I find what government that is void of God looks like, and it's not anything that I want to have anything to do with. And so we need peace, and the way that we get that is we have the Prince of Peace, the Lord our peace, actively involved in our life. He goes on in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and he says, "For the kings and all those in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." So you and I, we need to realize that if we're going to lead a quiet life and a peaceable life, that there are two other characteristics that are going to be known there, and that is godliness and reverence. That we stand in awe of God. And what we're going to do is we're not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize that relationship that we have with God. We're not going to do anything that jeopardizes our witness, our testimony when it comes to godliness. And I will tell you this, if you've got an area of your life, remember this all, and this study has got very few other programs left in it here before we move on to the Deliver Us From Evil. I've lost my train of thought there for just a moment there. We need godliness. We need godliness. If you've got an area of temptation, found my train. If you've got an area in your life where you're being tempted, then get out the source of that temptation. If that means that you need to get rid of your smartphone, get rid of your smartphone. If it means that you don't have access to a computer, I know it's hard to conceive, but it really is true. You can function without technology. It might seem like it is a foreign thing. I'm not saying that technology, I mean, I'm thankful for my smartphone, but I use it as a tool that serves me. It is not a bondage that is going to make me serve it. And so my wife and I, we're looking forward to getting away. And when we get away, I'm going to spend as much time as I can focusing not on my phone, but on her. And so I just want to encourage you today that if we lead godly and reverent lives, if we're praying for those in authority, then we're going to find that we have a lot more of stillness, serenity. We're going to have more peace. We're going to have more tranquility. There's going to be a lot less conflict in our lives. And so I encourage you to do that. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So he's saying you do not have a meddling life, and believe me, I have found that if you get involved with a person that is drowning in a particular situation, they are very desperate. And one of the things that they will try and do if I can use the drowning analogy, is they will try and push you down to push themselves up, and they'll, and if you're not careful, you can become a casualty as well. And so, and trust me, I know, because I almost drowned when I was a kid. I almost drowned a friend of mine trying to stay alive. Fortunately, there were people there that kept us both alive. That you work with your own hands. You and I, we have got to be hands-on when it comes to our walk with God. We need to be hands-on with our spiritual life. There are certain things in life you can't delegate to other people. You and I, we've got to be productive. We've got to be actively involved, and like I said, hands-on, that you may walk properly to those toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. When God tells us that he wants us to lead a quiet life, and we pray for those in authority over us that we might lead a quiet life, it is not without reason or not without purpose. He says, when you are living the life the way, when you're increasing more and more, you're minding your own business, you're working with your own hands, says what you are going to find is that you are walking properly towards those who are outside. I was on a hospital call here not too long ago, and was visiting someone in the hospital, and there was I was having to wait for some people in the room to finish with the patient before I could go in and pray for them. And there was a person that worked at the hospital, and they're walking down the hallway, and they had a speaker, and it was telling them, okay, this is what your posture needs to be. This is where your shoulders need to be. This is how you need to be walking. And it was, I mean, it was loud, and I had to figure out where the audible sound was coming from at first. And then I realized who it was. And it's like, God, would you give us the insight? Would you help us to be postured properly? Because we don't want to be lacking anything in reaching our community with the love of Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
no sorrow.